I really found my true calling and my heading when I started praying more and being able to listen directly to God, that He had something in store for me and that I just had to trust Him and listen to Him.
Every day I woke up and I would pray and ask God what He wanted me to do.
My whole focus was just being obedient and letting God guide me and where He was steering me and show me the way of what He's got planned for us.
He was just calling me to be a disciple of Him and to spread His word and to tell His story and how great He really is.
Now it's time to just be brave and take a new step. You know, you have to be a little bit scared. I mean, that's normal. But I think bravery is just letting go that He will provide.
Welcome to Crossroads, everybody. It's great to have you here. Great to have you guys watching online. Why don't you stand up? We're going to spend some time singing together and telling God that we love Him. If you're at home, make sure you turn your stereo up really loud. So I want to teach you guys a new song that I think is important for our community to have as part of our vernacular, part of the things that we know how to say. And I don't know about you, but when I, in the early days of me following Jesus, I thought that there was this deal that when I followed Jesus, that meant that I got safety out of the deal, that I got an easier way through life. I got sort of a pass on suffering. And man, it didn't take long for me to figure out that that was not true at all. Like, I feel like at one point when I started really getting serious about saying, you know, God, I'm going to follow you, like, that's when the crap hit the fan. You know, anybody else, right? Like, wait a minute, God. I thought you were like saving me from this stuff. And what I find now is that the difference between someone who just knows about God and someone who believes in God isn't the amount of storms they go through, it's what they do when they hit the storm. It's what happens when they're in the storm. Where do their eyes go? Do their eyes go to the waves, or do their eyes go to the heavens? And so this song simply, it's almost like a bit of a, I don't know, a declaration of how I want to live my life, how I want us as a community to live our lives. It says that even when I can't find the words to say, God, I'll praise you. Even when I get a bad diagnosis, I'll praise you because you are my savior. You know, you are in the process of saving me and leading me. That even when it hurts like hell, I will still praise you. When I have no words left, I will only sing your praise. So I want us to, even if you're like, I don't know if I believe that, it's cool. I want to invite you to sing these words anyway. And maybe encounter God in a way that is extra meaningful this morning. So let's sing the song together. Thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you so much for the way that you draw us to you. I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody in this room believes the same thing about you, but I do believe that our steps into this place are silent prayers of wanting to encounter something greater than ourselves. I pray that you would respond to these prayers. You would reveal yourself to us in ways that we would understand. That you would you could break through our baggage and show us who you really are. Thanks. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along here and singing along online. Do me a favor. Yeah, I'm glad for that. Why don't you turn to somebody around you and say hi, maybe to say how long you've been coming to Crossroads, and then have a seat. If you're online, why don't you go get a cup of coffee real quick and then get back here. All right, that's enough chit-chat, everybody. Sit down. Hey, we're going to do something as a part of our worship time together. We're going to take up an offering, and this is just another way, like in worship, we say with our words and our hearts that that we want to know who God is, that we trust Him, that it is well with our souls. And when my family gives, it's a way that my family says, God, we trust you. We trust you that you're our provider, that you are the one that sustains us. And we don't do what the world says, hoard all of our money, but we joyfully give back. So we're going to do that. There are a couple ways that we give around Crossroads. One is with bags that come around for check and cash. One is through crossroads.net/give, and you can give there on the app, or you can automate it, which is what my family does, because we've just prioritized it in such a way. See, we want to be about proclaiming that that we believe God is who He says He is with our finances. So those bags are going to come around. You can give and be a part of what we're doing with Life Change around here in the city and the world. And this weekend, we got a special treat. We're going to hear from Brian Tome, our senior pastor, but not here. Brian is going to be teaching us from Israel. So we're really excited for you to get to hear what he's got to share from Israel. Take a look at this.
Great being with everybody today, though not on a stage, someplace better. I'm here in Israel at one of the more interesting places where Jesus did a really amazing thing. You know, one of the fascinating things about Jesus and the Bible is, unlike other spiritual literature, there's names, dates, and places that you can go and study right now. It's not like the Bible says, well, here's this spiritual idea, just trust us on that. It does have those, but it also mentions places, places like the Sea of Galilee, places like valleys. And I'm in a place right now where Jesus and his disciples, no question, were. On the other side of this little hill, there's the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples marched or sailed over that body of water. And when they landed, everyone was thinking, hey, Jesus is here. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who's been doing amazing teaching. Let's find him. And so hundreds and then thousands of people came around him. And when they came around him, they were going to be putting, unbeknownst to the disciples, they were going to be putting them to a test. So Jesus spends the day, he's healing, he's preaching, he's doing what only he can do. And it comes time for a meal. And Jesus is trying to follow Jewish practice, just basic hospitality, and get everybody something to eat. So he says to people, hey, let's make sure that everyone has something to eat. Could you please handle that for me? And here's how the story says. Verse 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. So the disciples realized, man, people are starting to get hungry. We got to get this handled. Just send them away down the village, right down by the sea, and everything will take place. And Jesus says, no, how will you take care of it? This is fascinating to me about Jesus. We oftentimes think that we have a challenge or we have an issue that Jesus or God should somehow magically sprinkle his fairy dust on the situation and make everything go easy and bam, take the problem away. In reality, Jesus honors us enough to give us responsibility. In the midst of this journey, I think that you've probably been noticing there's things that have got to happen that you're noticing. And it takes a level of bravery to try those things and to figure them out. It's much, much easier if God just sends a very clear sign from the heavens and takes away the problem and makes it easy to solve. But Jesus honors them by saying, yes, you give them something to eat. I love this about Jesus. I love this. I love that he trusts us enough to empower us and say, you can do this. You can do this. Exercise your brain. Exercise your mind. I know at Crossroads, there's been so many things that God's been doing in our midst that is really crazy. And without question, we have seen God show up in miraculous ways by providing buildings or providing the right person at the right time. We've seen miraculous healings, physical healings through prayer in our midst. I'm not devaluing the role of miracles or the role that God can do that we can't do at all. But we have to understand, if you want to get something done, your first default has to be that God has empowered you and commissioned you to get it done. Now, there's 5,000 men that are here. That's what the Bible says, 5,000 men that are here. In fact, this thing happens at least more than once. At least two times it's recorded in the New Testament that Jesus is feeding people. And this one says 5,000 men, 5,000 men. There's generally more women than men. So let's just take it up right there to at least 11,000, 12,000 total. This is a Jewish culture, and they've got families, big families. They're not a practicing birth control. In fact, they know that the more kids you have, the more wealth you will have because the more you can operate your land. So I don't know how many kids they've got. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know. Let's just put it this way. Jesus has a problem to feed about the size of a normal weekend at Crossroads at all of our sites. That's pretty intense right there. That's pretty intense. And he tells the disciples, yeah, figure it out. We're going, but I don't have enough Clif Bars. Andrew, you got Clif Bars? No, I don't have any Clif Bars. You have any of that newfangled dehydrated food? We can go down and get some stuff because that was really light for us to carry up here. No, I don't have any. They don't have dehydrated food. They don't have Clif Bars. The way they have food is like old-fashioned meat. Ah, yes, meat, fish. Bread. Let's get some of those carbs, some of that yeast in us before people tell us it's unhealthy in 2,000 years. Let's enjoy the bread right now. This is how they eat. And they can't figure it out. So Jesus says this, bring them here to me. You've only got a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. Bring them here to me. Then they ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to all the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So in this journey, you've been able to identify something that you're going to need to get done. And you're going to need to marshal all the resources that God has naturally blessed with, all of your creativity, all of your mental faculties, whatever physical power you have, maybe other resources you have in the bank. And we need to exercise those under the auspices and under the direction and humble service to God. And you might find out as you do that, that it's not enough. And in that situation, we go before God and say, God, I need resources I don't have, and I'm depending on you to do what I can't do. And either way, God, I'm going to bravely go forward and I'm going to bravely trust in you. And while this happens, we go to new places because our journey in that never ends. There's always a new mountain where God's taking us to.
Let's
Last year, before I started the Brave Journey, I was kind of on the fence about getting more involved in church. The heading for the Brave Journey was to just focus on prayer and moving forward in my life without letting fear guide me. I dealt with anxiety. I actually took anxiety medicines, and I would pray and ask God what He wanted me to do and what His expectations were from me. I definitely saw a change in my anxiety levels as I started putting God first. It was kind of strange talking to God and listening back for an answer. It's like, what am I listening for? But I would also ask God for some sort of feedback in the worldly nature. So I've been a writer since forever. I would say at 9, I probably wrote my first poem. But I think it was somewhere either before or after the prayer experience where I woke up and I heard very clearly God say, publish your book. And throughout the day, I kept getting confirmation. I would just bump into authors or writers or self-published people. And then I went to work, and a client handed me her book and goes, you know, here, Dana, here's a copy of my book. And I had no idea she was writing the book. So that was my confirmation that I should move forward with this and not worry about what my family thought, or again, worry about what people were going to think of me and just go ahead and do it. The idea of publishing my book has always been scary because of the judgments. I've dealt with child molestation, poverty, depression. I've been in foster care, and I was raised by a mother, drug addict, and still is. Just thinking about it was hard to figure out, how do I get this? How do I market that? How do I let it go and let my family read how it affected me? I think that was the biggest thing for me, is the sadness and the grief that I was going to reveal in the book. When I finally published, it took a while. You know, I had to get copyrights and I self-published it. But when it happened, it felt so good to get it out, to see that I lived it, but I didn't become that person. Looking back, I just feel like it was nothing but God that saved me. I let somebody in my family read it, and her response was, God, I didn't know. You know, a lot of the response was, they didn't know it was that bad. But the relief and the peace that I felt, it was like an inner peace with myself. I can't describe it. Like, I trusted you, God, and I know this is what you want, and I just felt better for trusting Him for it. So the world told me that I was a failure, and now I am a published author. God is love, and I am brave.
So after Jesus feeds the 5,000, or as we just learned, the tens of thousands, the Bible tells us something else happens. And this is one of the ways that our modern Bibles really get in the way for us to understand the flow of Jesus' life. It's chopped up into chapters and verses. And these delineations were put in generations after Jesus walked the earth. And as a result, we just look at things in sort of micro patches instead of seeing how everything weaves together, and it's all one continuous story. It says this: immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. So they're gone. They're going on the other side of the lake, and He's heading up to a place to connect with God. You know, there's things that you know at this point that God wants you to do, and you're going to need to be brave about. And the thing is, you can't lean on your own resources. You're gonna have to figure out what rhythms and disciplines you do to tap into the power of God, to have something that is beyond yourself. Jesus regularly withdrew by Himself to get with God, away from people, to connect. and be empowered. I think it's interesting that he doesn't just go behind a tree to be by himself. It says that he goes up on a mountain to pray. There's a physicalness that I love about Jesus. There's a, if you will, a physicality about Jesus where he engages his masculinity to take a journey up this hill, Mount Arabel, to connect with his Father, and we need to do the exact same thing. Ooh.
So going into the journey, my heading was to find my purpose and to find my direction in life. I had a great job, I had a lot of great friends, I had a great apartment, but deep down, I was pretty confused with where my life was going, and I was just looking for a little bit more clarification from God on where he wanted me to go and what he wanted me to do. I felt like something was missing in my life. I knew that God existed. I knew that God was real. But as far as listening to God and listening to what his purposes were for me, I didn't see. I really found my true calling and my heading about halfway through the Brave journey when I started praying more and being able to listen directly to God and hear from him that he had something in store for me. He wanted me to use the skills, the network, and the talent that he blessed me with to really help others, especially other people in the Indian American community. And so about a month after the Brave journey, an opportunity came up for me to lead a small Indian nonprofit in the city. It was scary. It was something new to me. I had to go from what I was comfortable with and what I knew to trying something new. I didn't know exactly where my income was going to come from at the time. I didn't know what I was going to, you know, what my family was going to tell me. I didn't know what my friends were going to say. I didn't know what my bosses at the time were going to tell me. I believe that trusting God helped me get through that change, and it really helped me grow my faith and realize that through God, all things are possible. The change has been great. I've been able to see God in so many new ways, but at the same time, there's so many new storms. Knowing that God's in control, that it's Him that I'm trying to glorify, and it's Him that I'm serving, has been able to give me a little bit more peace and comfort through the entire process. To me, bravery is easy to say, but difficult to practice. It means giving up my safety net, the things that I'm familiar with, to go into a place of unknown, into a place that I'm unsure what's gonna happen. But at the end of the day, bravery is a way to grow closer to God, to see His promises put forth. He is trustworthy, and I am brave.
We don't know exactly how Jesus got up here. We know he got here. That's pretty freaking cool. I tend to think that Jesus maybe took the harder route to get up here, the more scenic route. I don't know why we always think that Jesus is just sort of wandering through fields, picking daisies. He's a guy who I think wanted a sense of adventure. Now, his shoes would have been glorified Birkenstocks, but one way or the other, he gets right here. If you ever have the opportunity to get to Israel, you'll find out that there's three categorizations for every site in Israel, A, B, and C. An A site is a place where you go and you realize this is no question, historians know, this is the place where this event happened. A C site is a place where they're really not sure, but perhaps there's been some monument erected or some church or some such thing, and everyone goes there and celebrates that event, but they know that's not it. A B site is someplace in between. This right here is an A site. No question, he fed tens of thousands of people miraculously down there, and no question, he got up on the mountain to pray, Mount Arabel, this mountain right here. I had to think that he probably comes here fairly frequently. He probably would come up here to spend time with God and interact with God as he would enjoy doing, because this right here gives you a view of bigness. You know, when you want to connect with God, it's really great to be in a place where you feel small and everything else is big. Perhaps he's seeing people out here that he came to live for and die for. Perhaps he's thinking about people thousands of years later who would be in a dark auditorium in the Cincinnati region right now. You know, that's what his mission was about. His mission was about coming for you, dying for you, blessing you, enabling you and I to do things that we can't do on our own human power. It takes bravery, but we just can't do it. And while he's up here, he's watching the disciples, because remember, he sent them in a boat to the other side of the lake. So the wind is coming through here, working up the water in a frenzy and beating the snots out of the boat. And the disciples are starting to get a little freaked out. Three ideas for us today. Number one is this: storms test our bravery. You don't really know if you're brave until a storm comes, until difficulty comes your way. Sometimes difficulty comes this way because you intentionally put yourself into a place that could have difficult circumstances, but you know that's what you need to do. I'll tell you what, if you're gonna get married, if you're dating right now and you're getting married, guess what? Storms are coming. Yes, they are. You're going to get into a relationship and get ready. It's all nice and happy right now, but something weird happens after you say I do, where the stakes go up and difficulty comes. And this is also part of the stuff that forges us together with our spouse and part of the stuff that causes us to understand God in a different way. If you're going to start a business, get ready. Storms will come. Finances will be difficult for you. The economy might crash. Somebody else might come in and have the same product and cut your price. People who you think there's no way I can do this effort without them, they're going to be gone. They're going to actually leave you high and dry. Storms are going to come. Second big idea is that storms bring the perception of isolation. I know there's storms in the room. If they're not happening right now, I hate to tell you, they're going to happen. It's one of the things we're pretty much guaranteed as humans. Storms are going to come. And when they come, we never like them. And we almost always feel like we're isolated and God is far from us. I've had storms in my life. When I got married, Lib and I had a child, a first child. It was a surprise. It was a surprise. Let's put it that way. She was a surprise. And let me also say, it wasn't my fault. It was because of Lib. It was a surprise. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I've got another mouth I'm going to have to feed. And while this is happening, I'm not in a great place financially. I'm working at a church. I think I'm making, I don't know, somewhere between $12,000 and $16,000. I'm feeding two mouths, and I'm going to have a third mouth. Life is difficult. And I go into work one day, and while this is happening, I'm actually also going to seminary. While I go into work, I find out that there was a board meeting the night before for the budget, and the budget has been cut in all areas, and my salary is going to be half. Half. It's an old Eddie Murphy stand-up line. Half. My salary is going to be half of what it was. This is not good. I've now got to raise salary in the midst of all the other things I'm doing. It is rough. We come and start Crossroads in Cincinnati. We moved in 1995 and started in 1996. And I tell you what, it was storm after storm after storm. Difficulty, not having the right financial resources, thinking that there was going to be people with me who were relationally committed to me as much as I was committed to them, hurt me, stab me, walk away from me, feeling isolated from them or people I was dependent on. And while this is happening, feeling isolated from God. Some of my biggest storms, or maybe the biggest storm I experienced, was right in the room at Crossroads Oakley when during a Christmas show, we had someone fall to their death. Tell you what, that's a storm. And you're never sure exactly how to cope with a storm when it comes, because it's a storm because you haven't seen it before. If it's something that you've seen before, it's not a storm. It's a way that you regularly move through life. That one, you never see that one coming. Now I got to figure out, how do I minister to her and the family while she's in the hospital, lifeless on a bed? How do I do a funeral for an amazing, integral part of our church who's an unpaid worker and walk her family through that? Oh, gosh, it was rough. Crossroads right now looks like things are easy street. It is not. It is one storm after another. And every time when I go into a storm, there's like a lag time of not feeling God there. When the disciples go out onto the boat, there's a lag time when they're not feeling Jesus with them because he's physically not with them. Now, as a boat would go down across this water, we like to think in our ways that the shortest distance between two points is what? It is a line. That's right. That works when you're on land, but when you're on sea, that's not how it operates. But it's not about the least distance to follow. It's about patterns, the weather patterns, the water, and if something comes that shouldn't be expected, I'm surprised by, how do I get back to shore? Right here on this edge of this mountain, there is a natural V cut in the rocks that operates as an amazing wind tunnel. And out of nowhere, bam, you'll get nailed on that water. And that's why it says the waves and the wind are hitting them in the face. And what you would normally do is you would want to be like 50 to 100 yards from the side of the shore. So if you needed to, you could head into port. Well, it says here that they're pushed off so much so, it's about 600 feet out, 3x of what they should be out in the middle of the water. They are out of control.
The start of the Brave journey last year was pretty significant in our lives. We had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. At age 39, we had a 7-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter, and just were kind of lost. I was worried. I tried not to show it, but I was pretty worried. I mean, how do you go through such a big deal with 2 small kids? And it's a lot to take on. The timing was, I know God's timing, perfect timing. I remember standing in the auditorium for the service, and it was the service with the music, You Make Me Brave, the same weekend before I was due to start chemotherapy. So I had shaved my head, I had prepared, we were ready, and then that song came on. And I know it wasn't coincidence, it was exactly what I needed to hear at that moment. I was putting on a brave front, but inside I was crumbling when I heard that song the first time. I remember starting to cry during the service, and my husband grabbed my hand, and at that point I thought, okay, I can do this, but I didn't yet know what bravery was. I hadn't even begun. So I think I had hoped I knew what it was, but it was yet to come. So my heading for last year's Brave Journey was asking God to guide us through breast cancer, guide us through the storm. The biggest storm was my body and making sure it was going to recover and get through this, but also just the emotional impact that it has on everyone around you. Watching your kids suffer and asking if mommy's going to die and watching them cry, watching my daughter be afraid to come close to me or to touch my head because it was bald. I sat in the chemo suite with so many other people who had it way worse than me. That was God's way of saying to me, yes, look, you can do this. You can do this every day, as hard as it is, even though your kids are scared, even though your husband's scared, your family's scared. Just keep going. You can do this. Put your eyes on me, and I will lead you through. I will get you through the storm. We had to let it go and trust. We put our boats in the fire, we burned them, and we knew that we had to just keep our eyes above the waves and just trust, let go. Letting go and surrendering to God, I'm not gonna lie, was hard at first. There was a lot of tears, there was a lot of questioning why this happened to us. And then I think both my husband and I realized that we don't have the answers. We had to just let go. There was no other options. I had to let go. I had to just trust that this was the plan for me. There's more to this. This is what's gonna teach our family. It's gonna bring our family closer than we ever knew was possible. It's gonna teach us life lessons that we didn't know we could learn at age 39. So I think letting go was hard, but also the reward was so worth it. The result of keeping my eyes focused on Jesus was not only pulling me through the storm, but my kids and my husband and our relationship as a family. Before Crossroads, we didn't have a spiritual relationship. We weren't praying with our kids. We weren't praying together as husband and wife. We just weren't. This just wasn't part of our life. Until we began this Brave journey together as a family, we didn't have that openness. What does it mean to be brave for our family? I feel like it means many things. It meant to keep going every day. For my kids to go to school, my husband to go to work as much as he could, and for me just to keep my body moving forward. You know, you have to be a little bit scared. I mean, that's normal. But I think bravery is just letting go, that He will provide. He is trustworthy, and I am brave.
I'll tell you, it's one thing to feel like you're isolated. It's another thing to feel like you are entirely out of control. I hope you don't feel that right now. Sometimes that happens to us, but here's what you need to realize. Even though you feel isolated, Jesus was up on this spot and his eyes were on the disciples. Third and final big idea for you today. Jesus's eyes are on those who would be brave even in the midst of the storm. He's watching them go from port to port, from area to area, and he's seeing their boat being blown further and further back. He's seeing the tide coming up more and more and more, the thing bouncing up and down the water, and he chooses that he's going to go down and bring the power that only he can bring. In the ancient world, there was always a mystery around water. I mean, that's still the way it is today. I was just reading in USA Today this last week about how artifacts they found from the Titanic 2.5 miles underneath the water are being shown for the very last time. We're fascinated with the water, with the deep sea. We at least understand it because we have the ability to take submersibles all the way down and see what's down there. You have to understand, in the ancient world, they never could do that. The Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Tiberias, is 141 feet deep. I'm not even sure if the disciples knew how deep it was. It was mysterious for them. It was only a few centuries ago that in ancient maps, you would have at the very edge of where the furthest ship had ever gone, beyond here there be dragons, because they thought that the earth dropped off in a shelf and away you went. Ancient gods, the gods of the Egyptians, we know of people like Neptune, Poseidon, these are all gods that have been created to try to help us understand the mystery of the deep, the mystery of the water. So when the disciples are on the boat and they're being tossed all over the place, they could be very well interpreting this as demonic activity. This is activity from the gods that's trying to get them. They didn't understand weather patterns. They didn't understand any of these things. They thought there was something weird happening in the spiritual realm. And so when Jesus walks down the mountain and gets on the water and walks over to the disciples, what he is saying and demonstrating is, I crush the heads of the false gods. I walk on top of the mysterious powers that be. And you might be feeling like there is a lot of waves coming against your life. You might be feeling like there's spiritual activity that you can't handle and you can't contain, like the disciples did on the water. And Jesus says, I see you, I know you, and I can conquer any and all that may be coming against you. That's who he is, the one who makes us brave. I believe that Jesus comes still today to people who need his power. And I believe his eyes are on you. And for many of you, it's no longer just going to be his eyes. It's going to be his presence ministering to you and building into you in a way you couldn't have seen coming, but it's coming. And before we do a song right now that's going to cement that for us, and hopefully where you feel the presence of God, I want to just pray for you right now. Okay, God, I thank you. I thank you for every person who is hearing and watching this right now. And I know, God, as I'm on Mount Arabel and I'm praying this, that you've seen this moment coming. And for many of us in here, this was the moment you're going to become real and we're going to go to a new place. And we've been brave, we've been doing our best, but we cannot do this without you. And I'm praying, God, you'd bring your resources, your power, and your grace to your people right now, just like you brought it to your disciples 2,000 years ago. God, you're good to watch, and you're good to get involved. Amen. Let's sing this together. And remember, Jesus comes down off the mountain just like he comes down off the cross and brings power for people like you and me.
And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you
You guys stand up and sing this with us.
Storms come, knowing that we're all going to be isolated one way or another, and knowing that Jesus uses his eyes and he sees us and is aware of us, why not take a leap? Well, you know, the thing I like about disciples is they're going someplace. They're not saying, let me just hunker down and fold out my chair and just stay where I am. They're going someplace. Friends, you've been doing a lot of work in the midst of this journey. Take the leap. Take the leap. Go out and do that thing. Try that thing. Start the new business. Do the new spiritual discipline. Ask her out. Have a child. Take up the hobby. Do the thing that you feel that God is stirring in you, because whether you do it or not, it's not going to stop storms from coming in your life, but you may as well do it because you're taking a leap. And in the process, you're not just improving your life, but you're improving the opportunities for God to get intimately and intricately involved in the details, the difficulty, and the storms, because he loves people to take the leap.
Hey guys, I'm Matt. If we're going to take those leaps and go to those brave places that God is calling us, if we're going to take those steps, we want to connect with God and hear what he has to say about them. So if you haven't yet, we've had people going through the prayer experience at CityLink, doing the Brave at Home Challenge, and it's been life-changing. This opportunity that you have to disconnect from your world and connect with God and hear what he has to say about those steps you know he's calling you to take, I don't want you to miss out on this. So sometime this week, go to crossroads.net/brave at home, set aside 30 minutes, and have this experience in your home where you can connect with God. And if you're local to Cincinnati, you can come to the CityLink Center and experience the prayer experience. Don't miss out on these things. These are life-changing things that you can do, and all you have to do is set aside a little time in your week this week to get them done. Hey, and if you are outside of Cincinnati and want to be a part of this community, we want to provide you more opportunities to do that. And so we've set up a Facebook group, a Crossroads Anywhere Facebook group that you can join. This is where you can find people close to you who are also attending and a part of Crossroads. This is where you can share stories of what God is doing in your life. You can stay up to date on all the things that are happening in all of the regions of Crossroads. We want you to join. So go on Facebook today and join the Crossroads Anywhere Facebook group. This is going to be an incredible community, and we want you to be a part of it. And the final thing that I need to tell you about today is baptisms. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate baptisms. And so on the weekend, we're going to be baptizing lots of people. People who have said, I want to follow Jesus with my whole life, and I want to mark this moment with baptisms. People have been doing this for thousands of years. And if one of the steps God is calling you to take is the step of baptism, we want to partner with you to do that. If you're here around Cincinnati, you can go to crossroads.net/baptism and sign up for an info session. Someone will reach out to you, get you all the information you need. Wherever you live, we want to partner with you in this step. And so you can email me at anywhere@crossroads.net. Just put the subject line baptisms. We'll trade emails and then set up a time where we can talk one-on-one. And I can answer all the questions you have. We can go through all of the logistics and plan here in a couple weeks to have you be baptized. We're incredibly excited about this and the coming weekends of the Brave Journey. And so glad you guys joined us this weekend. So have an awesome weekend. See you next week.